Well, how many of y'all are blessed today? Amen? Anybody need anything? We got a storehouse right here. So, anyway, y'all blessed today? I'm so delighted and happy to be with you guys and drove up from Virginia. I just came into back to Virginia about Monday night. I was in Montana, and I was with the Crow Indian Reservation. And I tell you what, there's a lot of things that are happening right now with the American Indians. And so I was with them. In fact, about 20 Navajo Indians, they drove 20 hours to the Crow Indian Reservation. They said, "We heard that you were having meetings, and we came to join you, came to believe God with you." And so they brought, they had this huge truck, and they brought a tent. All right, and they set up the tent. They said, "This was R.W. Schombach's tent." Wow. And so we had great meetings there on the Crow Reservation. And so there's a real stirring. There's a real awakening that's happening with the Native Americans. I believe in 1975, Billy Graham prophesied that they would be the sleeping giant. And he called them out. He said, "Y'all are the sleeping giants. Y'all are the original Americans. But in the last days, you guys are going to come to the forefront. And you're going to be a part of this great awakening for America as well as for the rest of the world." So there's a real stirring. In fact, on the Navajo, there's a real revival going on. It's been going on for some time. And so I've been invited to go down there in September. They have a huge revival with 5,000 churches that are involved. And they're using R.W. Schombach's tent. The tent is over 4 football fields. And you can break it up into five different sizes, you know. But it's quite a tent. And I'm just like, "Lord, just let some of that anointing, right?" But I tell you, there's just a real stirring, a real awakening. There's a guy, that film director, that just put out a movie called Awaken. It's about what's happening on the Indian reservations. Do you know that there's over 500 American Indian tribes? 500. And so they feel a real strong desire in word that they're going to be a part of this great awakening. And so there's lots of evangelism. They're going from one tribe to the next tribe, just evangelizing and raising up new leaders, new evangelists in different things. And so it's just really quite something to see. So this is the fourth invitation that I've gotten in the last 24 months. And so I've got like 3 or 4 other reservations possibly to go to and that sort of thing. So, hey, great things are happening in America. Let's give it up for Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Well, the Bible does say every nation, every tribe.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, all 500 of them. Yep. And so also, some of you have asked about when I was in the Middle East. I was there about 2 months ago. Great things are happening there. President Sisi of Egypt just continues to do so many amazing things so fast. And so we Dr. Ron Charles and I are working together. And so we were just approved to start a Bible school there in Egypt with the government leaders, their permission, their approval. But President Sisi, up until about 3 years ago, if you were converted and you became a Christian, you were either executed or you were forced to live in the garbage. And so there were just so many thousands, hundreds of thousands of Christians that were living in different garbage cities. And so he promised about less than 3 years ago that he was going to bulldoze the garbage cities and move the Christians into their own high-rise apartment buildings. And there had been several hundred high-rise apartment buildings that he had built that were abandoned at the time. And so he has, within about 6 months of he promised to do that, he bulldozed all the garbage cities, moved all the Christians into their own places. So now they have their own place to live with running water, electricity, you know, and all of that. And so we're planning to do that, the Bible school, right in the heart of those apartment complexes. And so then also he's taken the Christians and he's employed them. As of last July, the Christians are being paid 25 cents an hour, and he's employed them to build the Isaiah 19 highway. If you're not familiar with that Isaiah 19, he's fulfilling scripture right before our eyes. Isaiah 19 talks about, in that day, Egypt will call upon my name, and I will be known in Egypt. And there will be a highway that goes from Egypt to Assyria. And Egypt, Assyria, and Israel will all come and worship my name together. It just gives me chills, right? You know, and so he's fulfilling scripture right before our eyes. So that Isaiah 19 highway, that highway has been in the plans for, I don't know, 20 years, been the blueprints. But now he's putting the Christians to work, and they're working on building that Isaiah 19 highway. Let's give it up one more time for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So I just love to hear what God's doing around the world, and I love coming to Armada and being with people of like precious faith. And so good to see all of you guys today, and looking forward to all the different sessions that we'll have the rest of the day. If you would, go in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and also John chapter 17. The Lord put several things in my heart to share with you this morning. And the title of the message is The Harvest, the Holy Ghost, and the Gift of Faith. Everybody say the harvest, the Holy Ghost, and the Gift of Faith. And so I read recently there was a study that this Bible scholar did. He's a statistician. He did a study on the gospel, on the Great Commission, and he went through all of history, and he came to this conclusion that every era, every generation that's ever been present on the earth has had both the ability and the resources to fulfill the Great Commission. So he traced everything back, and he looked at the church, he looked at the believers, and he said, so every generation that's lived on the earth has had both the ability and the resources to accomplish the Great Commission, but they just didn't. But then he said, now the generation that's here on the earth, the present generation, you and I, we have 22 times greater opportunity in the ability, in the resources to fulfill the Great Commission. Now, I want you to think about that. You know, we have this generation, we have the ability to complete the Great Commission. Amen. Like we could, in the next several years. Now, if you're like me, I remember when I was growing up back in the 1970s, you know, everyone was talking about, hey, Jesus is coming back soon, right? Y'all remember those days? You know, and it was like everyone was talking about it. You know, there were guys that hitchhikers, you know, that would, someone would pick them up and they would be talking about, hey, Jesus is coming back soon. And all of a sudden they get out of the car and people go, where'd he go? You know, where'd he go? And then I was grew up Baptist, so, you know, they played that movie, The Thief in the Night. Anybody ever see that movie, The Thief in the Night? And I tell you what, that will scare the heck out of you. But it was all talk about Jesus is coming back again. Of course, I remember I came home from school one day, and my mother's car, you know, her car was in the driveway. But when I came in the door, I said, "Hey, mom, I'm home." Mom, where are you? I'm home, you know. And I didn't know she had gone next door to the neighbor's house. And I'm thinking, oh, dear Jesus, I hope I didn't miss the rapture. I was like, oh. Some of y'all remember that feeling, right? Some of y'all remember that time. And so, but this is where we're at, though. This is the real deal. We can do this. We can accomplish. We can bring the Great Commission into the great completion. We can. We can if we really put our mind to it and just keep believing God for God to do great things. And so I want us to look here at two scriptures. John chapter 17, great chapter where Jesus was talking to the Father. And here he says in John 17, Jesus is praying. And in verse 22, actually let's start with verse 20. Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. In the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. You know, here we see Jesus is really emphasizing oneness. And the way I see it, there's really three major things that God's telling the church right now. He's, number one, it's time to pray. Time to pray, and we need to keep praying, right? Number two, it's, you know, he's telling us to, it's time to get back our personal relationship, our intimacy with the Lord. How many of y'all know that God's been calling you to a place of intimacy, spending more time with Him and getting our personal relationship with the Lord? And then the third thing that I see is that God's just really calling us to hear His voice and to obey. To hear His voice. Everybody say, hear His voice. And obey. And I believe that as we get closer and closer and more sensitive to hearing God's voice, that's going to be the key that's going to really unleash a great move of God. And I heard Bill Johnson say not too long ago, he said this. He said, the ability to hear from God and say what God says and do what God says to do is what causes the kingdom of God to manifest. So the ability to hear God's voice and to say exactly what Jesus tells us to say. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, I don't speak of my own accord. I don't even state my own opinion. I only hear what my Father says, and I only say what He says, and I only do what I see my Father do. That was that oneness that Jesus was talking about. He was one with the Father, and He said, Father, that they may be one, just as we have been one. So I believe that the church, we're rising up to hear His voice, and we're stepping out to only say what He tells us to say, and to only do what He tells us to do. So I found that this year, you know, that's the place that I've been at. Just, I've been like, Lord, that's where I want to be. I only want to say what you tell me to say, and only want to do what you tell me to do. And when I start to do that, guess what? It's the kingdom of God that begins to manifest. How many of y'all with me this afternoon? Amen? Amen. Now, go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12 is talking about the gifts of the Spirit or spiritual matters. And in verse number 7, he says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, and different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will." You know, first of all, I thank God for the Word of Faith message. So many of us that are here were brought up in that. We learned what faith is, how faith works. Many of you know my testimony, how I was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and I thank God for the message of faith and all that I knew. And so taking hold of the Word of God and speaking that Word. And how many know that if you work the Word will work for you? Amen? And so many of us came under within that. I don't want to even call it a movement because it's a lifestyle, right? But you know, we've been taught all the principles of faith. And I feel like we're coming into a season right now. It's a jubilee season for the church. And I believe that things are going to happen on a big scale. Everybody say on a big scale. I mean, we're talking about like a God scale. And I feel like what God is saying to me is it's time to really, really stretch. Really stretch my faith. Really believe for crazy stuff. You ever believe for crazy stuff? Yeah, we got some crazy folks here. But to just really stretch, you know, just like that scripture says in Isaiah, enlarge, stretch, all right? Expand, all right? And so there's a kind of a living faith that we know of, that we walk by and that we live by, where we take hold of the Word of God and we apply those principles, right? And we keep applying our faith, using our faith, you know, to receive healing or to receive prosperity or to receive other things in life. But see, my Bible also says there's a special faith. There's a gift of faith, all right? And you know, Jesus told Brother Hagin, he said, you have to teach these things. And we've been taught a lot in church about the other gifts of the Spirit, the vocal gifts, right? Tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. We've also been taught about the revelation gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. But the Lord just in the last year began to really had me look into this area on special faith. I remember my pastor years ago, he said this. He said, going into the last days, God's going to do supernatural things to get the job done. He has to, right? He has to. And so that's why there's such a demand, I believe, that the Spirit of God is placing on us to just keep using our living faith, right? To keep believing. But I believe there are times that God is going to bring special faith, a special faith, an endowment of faith where God initiates it. And so I want to just kind of stir you guys up about this for the next several minutes. Because I've had times in my life where special faith has come upon me. And I believe that we're just starting. You know, but if we begin to listen to what God's heart is today, we'll begin to not only stretch our own faith, but believe God for the other gifts of the Spirit. It seems like the gift of faith is an open door to the other power gifts. Boy, do we need some power. I remember Kenneth Hagin years ago, he talked about how seven people that he knew that that had Alzheimer's and they were completely healed. But he said six out of the seven, it took a gift of the Spirit. There's only one out of the seven that was still in their right mind where they could take hold of the Word of God and believe it and see their mind restored. And so can you imagine if we had more of the gifts of the Spirit in operation? Can you imagine healing people of Alzheimer's and dementia? You know, all the trauma that some of these soldiers have come back with. I mean, you name it. But see, we need these power gifts. And it seems like the gift of faith or this special faith is a key that really unlocks or it opens up the other power gifts, the working of miracles and the gifts of healings. And so I'm just going to give you a little definition about the gift of faith or special faith. The gift of faith is beyond ordinary faith. When the gift of faith is in operation, then through the power of the Holy Spirit, supernatural exploits are performed that cannot be humanly explained. These exploits cannot be done ordinarily. It cannot be done by human strength. Now, we've all heard of stories like this. I have stories. In fact, Wikipedia, it calls it hysterical faith. How many of you like to have some hysterical faith? Hysterical faith or hysterical strength. Here's one. In 2012 in Glen Allen, Virginia, that's where I live, 22-year-old Lauren Kornacki rescued her father after the jack used to prop up his BMW slipped, pinning him under it. Lauren lifted the car up, then performed CPR on her father and saved his life. In 2013 in Oregon, two teenagers lifted a tractor off of their father who was pinned underneath. Everybody say the gift of faith. I actually like this one. This was in, this long list of people that have done supernatural things in a time of crisis. We've all known of stories where we're at the scene of an accident. Someone went over and lifted up a car. Hello. I like this one, though. 2006 in Quebec, Canada, a lady by the name of Lydia saved several children by fighting a polar bear until the local authorities could arrive. Everybody say, that's a woman of God. In Quebec, all right? So probably a very rural area. No telling how long it took for her to fight off the polar bear. Everybody say hysterical faith, right? Hysterical strength, all right? But these are obvious, right, examples, all right? But how about Jesus? You know, when Jesus is preaching the gospel and everyone's hungry. And so Jesus says to his disciples, what do you got? Well, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. All right, tell the people to sit down. 5,000 men, plus I'm sure women and children. Tell them to sit down. This will do. Or how about in the Old Testament where God told Elijah, hey, go to the brook and I'll feed you there. The brook was in the wilderness. There's no Walmarts, no grocery stores. But wait a minute, I'm in the wilderness. Yeah, go to the brook and I'll not just feed you there, I'll send ravens. Ever been fed by a bird? See, these are examples of gift of faith. See, I believe we're stepping into a new arena, a new season for provisional miracles in physical miracles. How many of y'all believe that? You know, it's like George Mueller. He had orphans, many thousands of orphans years ago, and he would provide for them. I mean, he would clothe them, keep them, house them. All of that, all right, and for years, all right. Sometimes they would sit down at the table and say grace with nothing on the table. By the time that he had finished the prayer, guess what? There was a knock on the door, and there was provision. There is provision. See, I believe we're stepping into another level of provision for the church that we've never ever seen before. I remember, this gift of faith, it doesn't just apply to ministry. It can also apply to your personal life. I remember several years ago, my wife and I, we felt led to buy this property. And man, it looked like it looked abandoned. It looked like run down. And this guy had been trying to sell this property for 10 years. Probably a good reason. But we felt led to purchase it and to buy it. And so as soon as we bought it, we moved on this property in this little shack that was only 900 square feet because the Lord told us to do it. And so we moved into that shack, and then all of a sudden I start talking to real estate agents, and we thought, well, this property can be, you know, rezoned and be sold for commercial. And so everyone I talked to, they said to me, you didn't buy that property, did you? You tell me you didn't buy that property. I said, yep, we bought that property. And so everywhere we looked, everywhere we turned, it was just a closed door. So we got into the Word of God. We began to apply our living faith, right? We began to take hold of the Scriptures and believe God. And God gave us the Scripture. Hey, praise causes the earth to bring forth her increase. So we started walking the property every morning and just praising the Lord. Praise causes the earth to bring forth her increase. Praise causes the earth. So, Lord, if we made a mistake, hey, you know. And so we did that for 2 years, okay? And then all of a sudden one day we went to the county. We had been to the county many times. We went to the county. We were trying to check on something. And they had looked through our file so many times. But this time, it was different. This guy, this old guy in the back, we were at the counter talking to one guy. This old guy in the back, he said, well, yeah, let me look in your file again. So he looked in the file again. He said, wait a minute. Your property actually has utility easement. It's already perked for commercial. But it was never transferred to the current deed. So nobody's known about this for at least 50 years. So then all of a sudden, the property became what? Viable, okay? But then convincing someone to buy it. So we tried to convince a few people to buy, but they were still a little skeptical. And so we got two offers, but they were really, really low, really dirt cheap. And so, again, so one morning, my wife pops out of bed. She starts running. She starts going over. She starts getting dressed and getting her makeup on and all this stuff. And I said, honey, what's going on? She said, it just dropped into my spirit. Today's the day to sell this property. I said, do you know something I don't know? She said, yeah, I do. The Lord spoke to me in the middle of the night. Today's the day for this property to sell. So she got all dressed up and putting on her makeup and high heels, and she meant business. That gift of faith dropped inside of her when it seemed like there was no way. All right, then she got her little baby Jessica, got her all dressed up, and she's like, nobody can refuse a woman with a little baby. So she drove all the way to that, I mean, you know, just drove all the way to the real estate and came into the real estate agent's office, and she said, okay, I'm ready to make a deal today. He had offered us a deal really low before. And he kept saying, lady, you're bothering me. Lady, your property isn't worth what you think it is. And she's like, no, I'm ready to make a deal. I'm ready to make a deal today. Today's the day for this property to sell. And he kept saying, but it's not worth that. You know, what makes you think it's worth that? She says, no, I got a word from the Lord. He said, what? I got a word from the Lord. Today's the day. So are you in? He's like, he said, you know what we're asking for it. He could, but he kept him in and hawing. And she said, no, I'm not budging. The Lord told me what to buy this property for, and the Lord told me what to sell it for. He's looking at her and thinking, it's a crazy woman. So here she is. She's got baby Jessica, all smiles. So he looks at her, and he reaches down his bottom drawer, the desk, and he pulls out a contract. He said, I already have a signed contract for the price that you want this property for. Sold. Just sign it. And she walked out and she said, thank you very much. Hallelujah. See, there's going to be special faith. Special faith to get the job done. I remember one time my wife and I, we were talking about buying or getting an office space, okay? And, you know, we were just talking about it, and we're like, you know, what's the budget say and different things. And I woke up one morning. God says, go get it. Go get your office space today, like right now. I said, okay. So I happened to get on the phone, and I call this pastor that I know. He owns City Blocks. God has just blessed him. And I said, so how did you do this? And he goes, I just got up one morning, and God said, go get it. I said, well, that's a confirmation. So I stood up. I literally stood up, and I put my hand on my spirit, and I said, is it over here? Is it over here? Is it this way? Is it here? Yeah. Oh, actually, it's right over there. And I got in my car and I started driving. And I saw two or three different, I started calling, got hold of this one agent, and he goes, I can be there in a few minutes. I said, okay. So he shows up and we're showing this beautiful building, similar to what you used to have, you know. And so he's like, yeah, this is the rent and everything. I'm like, okay, you know. So we sat down, we were talking, and he says, so what do you think? You know, and I said, well, I need to talk to my board about this. And as soon as I said that, okay, he got a phone call. So he left the room, took this phone call. Well, while the door was open, this man came and he looked inside the room. It was a man that I knew 15 years before. And he says, Brian. I said, Jim, man, I haven't seen you in 15 years. How are you doing? And we start talking, you know. And Jim says, hey, come here. Why are you here? What's going on? I said, well, you know, I'm looking for office space and for the ministry and different things. He goes, oh man, this is a nice space, nice building. He says, so what do you think? I said, yeah, I like it. And he says, listen, I'll take care of it. You won't ever have to lack for a single month. I'll take care of it. Hey, listen, work the deal out. My office is, and he told me where it was. He said, come by later this afternoon, I'll have you check. Everybody say the gift of faith. See, sometimes you start out with the leading of the Spirit, and as you follow that, then all of a sudden there's special faith. So I'm going to give you a couple things, and you can write these things down today. Special faith is faith on steroids. It's something that God initiates. The gift of faith operates in areas of divine protection, provision, and miracles. When it works, you do little or nothing about it. God does it all for you. The gift of faith is unlimited because God is the source, not man. How many of y'all like this kind of faith? So So yes, we need to always be believing God for things in our life. You know, taking hold of the promises of God and applying our faith to different areas that we're believing God for. But we can also, the Bible says, we need to covet, to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And I'm telling you that if we're going to accomplish everything that God has for us, we need these gifts in operation. We need some special faith. We need some special favor. We need some special resources to come into our hands to accomplish everything that God's called us to do. Can you say amen? So we have the ability to access God's faith. Think about that. You and I have the ability to access God's faith. But we have to develop a listening ear. That's the key. When the gift of faith comes, there's no doubt, fear, worry, or chance of failure. No fear, no doubt, no worry, no chance of failure. When a couple years ago, when my daughter was 16, we had a burglar that was in our driveway. He was going through our cars and stealing stuff. And she woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and she looked, her bedroom overlooks the driveway, and so she was looking right into the car, and this man was in the car. And so she starts pounding on the window. Get out of my sister's car! Get out of my sister's car! And so she just simply yelled to everyone in the house, hey, there's a guy trying to steal our stuff. He's going through Madeline's car. And so we were like, you know, we're all kind of dazed, 3 o'clock in the morning. And so she jumps up and she runs down the stairs and runs out the door. All right. My reaction was this, because the dog woke up and he was kind of growling a little bit. I said, hey, somebody get the dog. I have a 16-year-old daughter with a t-shirt and underwear, barefoot, and she's running out the door, and I'm going, hey, somebody get the dog. She runs outside. Now, my 16-year-old daughter is very fast. She was always on the boys' team, right? She runs out the door, all right, and running barefoot, and she chases the guy down a block away, and she tackles him and throws him to the ground. The police arrived minutes later, and they had their big spotlights, and they were tracing all the, and he was spraying, he was dropping bullets, he was dropping all this stuff that he had been carrying, he'd been stealing, and you just follow this whole trail for an entire block, you know, all the stuff that came out of his pockets and things he was carrying, and then it got to the end, you know, she tackled him through the ground, and all this stuff was everywhere. So at 3:45, the police were writing the police report, and they're like, so tell me this, how did this exactly happen? Yeah, it wasn't me. My 16-year-old daughter, barefoot, t-shirt and underwear, ran out the door. And he's like, wow. This is a real story, you know. He said that guy has been committing all kinds of crime for the last 10 years in this city, and we have not been able to catch him. Well, she did. So a month later, this policeman, he knocks on our front door, and he goes, is Emily Wills here? And I said, yeah, she's here. Is everything okay? He said, yeah, I just want to present her with an award. So he gave her this sweatshirt and an award from the police academy. And he says, listen, Emily, you're 16, but, you know, if you ever desire to go out for the police academy, you know, we'll give you a high recommendation. You know. And, of course, the police officer sat down later, and they said, no, you know, Emily probably wasn't the wisest choice and all this stuff. And See, when the special faith. Now, see, Emily's afraid of spiders. Ah! What got her going? It had to be what faith, right? It had to be something. I mean, when that special faith comes on you, there's no doubt, no worry, no fear. You just spring into action. When you look at these stories of these people that lifted up cars and all this, they said, we don't know how we did it. We just saw what was going on and we did it. And then one guy later, you know, this woman was trying to call him Superman, and he's only like 5 foot tall. He goes, I ain't no Superman. I just did what I knew to do. And he said later that day he was trying to lift more cars, you know, and he couldn't do it. Everybody say faith on steroids. Yeah. So supernatural, right? Well, that's another story, but I can't go into that one. Because he also had a dog. And the two of them got in a fight. He said, I'm just walking my dog. Yeah. He's doing more than that. So, hallelujah. The gift of faith, special faith, comes on you to do the impossible. How many of y'all want to do the impossible? How about a guy by the name of Noah? Go build me an ark. Really? 120 years? Out there building that ark? See, I believe God is wanting to really enlarge. I don't care if we call it special faith, gift of faith, or just living faith. But God is just saying, hey, church, remove the limits.
Amen.
Do all that you know to do. And then allow me to do everything I want to do. Y'all with me? Hallelujah. I remember hearing a story about Rodney Howard Brown. He was talking about the gift of faith one time. And he said he went to Australia to preach the gospel. Hundreds of people got saved. And so he said, well, Lord, I did your job. I got the harvest in. And he said, I've always wanted to go fishing and catch a marlin. So he calls this captain of the ship up. And he only has, you know, one more day in Australia. He says, hey, captain, I'm so-and-so. Can you take me out tomorrow? I want to catch a marlin. Captain says, oh, it's not marlin season. He said, yes, it is. Captain says, no, it isn't. He said, you came at the wrong time. He says, no, I didn't. And he was arguing with the captain. He said, so, captain, you can take me out or not? He goes, I'm just telling you, this, the weather, the conditions, the water temperature, this is not marlin season. He says, well, it is for me. So if the captain took him out there, and they were still arguing about it. He's getting on the boat, and the captain said, it's not marlin season. Yes, it is. Today's my day. I'm going to catch a marlin. I've always wanted to catch a marlin. So God's going to have special favor for me today. And the captain's like, but you don't understand. He goes, no, you don't understand. See, one of the things about the gift of faith, the special faith like this, is you make bold statements. Come on now. It's bold statements. It can only be God's faith. Right? And so they were out, you know, on that boat for, and then the captain, they're out there for an hour or two, you know, because they're trying to get the way out there where there are marlin. All of a sudden, the captain, he says, look at this. Look at the whole sea just changed. And everything, it's just a great calm. And he says, now this is what it looks like when you catch marlin. He said, yep, I'm ready to catch it. And then within minutes, zzz.
Hallelujah.
He started reeling it. And before that, he was going, come, little marlin, come, little marlin. Come, little marlin, to me. right? Just like, you know, come kitty cat, you know, here kitty cat. You know, he was a here Marlon, here Marlon. Come on, Marlon, here, come here. So finally he landed this, and they put him in the seat, you know, and do the seat belt, and he's locked in. And so the captain says, all right, it's going to take 4 hours. He says, dear Jesus, it's not going to take 4 hours. Because he starts reeling, all right, and he goes, oh my gosh. Ooh, and he's getting tired, he's getting worn out. And he says, Lord, make it 30 minutes. Make it 30 minutes, but not 4 hours. So at the 30-minute mark, the Marlin comes up to the side of the boat and is just right there.
Hallelujah.
The captain's going, this is amazing. This is amazing. I can't believe this. He said, I told you so. And so they measured the Marlin. All right. It was a world record. Off-season Marlin catch. Come on, let's shout amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. See, I'm just trying to stir some things up. Y'all feel a little stirred?
Yes.
See, what this Jubilee season, it's like you declare a thing and it manifests. Because there's an acceleration on the harvest, right? When our words used to take days or weeks to come to pass, all right, when we are entering this season, I believe it's a set time to favor God's people, and this harvest is going to be accelerated and accelerated. So what could be accomplished 10 or 15, 20 years is going to happen in a year. Y'all believe that today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So yes, the gift of faith often works with the leading of the Spirit. As you move in the direction that God leads you, you'll come up to the water's edge and the water will part. I don't know what you're believing God for today, whether it's land, new office, more resources, get out of debt, being able to give more than you ever have before, like crazy giving. But God is saying, hey, just give me those blank checks. Just write out whatever you want. And I feel just a prompting by the Holy Spirit recently. He said, you know what? You can read history, or you can make history. But see, all these things are what? Manifestations of the Spirit. It's really the Spirit doing the work. So as we get more in tune with the Spirit, you know, Kenneth Hagin used to say this. He'd say, if the more people know the person of the Holy Spirit, they'll know the moving of the Spirit. And so God's calling us to just a higher place where we hear His voice, you know, in that oneness with Him, where whatever He says, we say. Whatever He wants us to do, we step out and do. All right? And we'll as we follow those leadings, all right, it'll lead us into more of these manifestations of the Spirit. But realize they come by what? Spending time more and more with the Lord. And see, the gifts of the Spirit aren't a sign of maturity. They're a sign of sensitivity. You know, the church at Corinth, they may have had all kinds of things going on, but they weren't a mature church. So these things happen because of sensitivity. How many of y'all want to come to the place that you're more sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice, more sensitive of what He has for you, what He says to do? And see, that's where we're going to see this, the kingdom of God begin to manifest in the earth. When we say what God tells us to say, we bring another realm into this realm. Think about that. When you and I say exactly what God tells us to say, we bring another realm into this realm. You ever been in a room before where people were maybe discussing a certain subject and then someone walks in and they happen to say the exact thing that needed to be said and everyone goes, and it gets all quiet. People are like, well, discussion over. Because that person happened to say exactly what needed to be said, whether it was rightly dividing or whatever it was, but they walked in the room and they said exactly what needed to be said. And what God is telling me, he said, it's time for the church. We're called to bring change. God wants us to be people that walk in the room, speak the truth, speak what he tells us to speak, and the environment changes. We're here to alter the nature of this natural world. Think about that. So in all my ministering this whole year, it's been, look, the church, we got to rise up. We're here to bring change. Until we get that mindset, we're just filling up a pew. We're taking up space. But God says, hey, we're here to bring change. If we're not bringing change, then we're not doing what we're supposed to do. What's prayer all about? Bring change. What's faith all about? Bringing change. What's the anointing about? It's about change. And so if we see ourselves as change agents, wherever we go, we bring something, right? We give something. And we speak something. And that involves change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have y'all get the message this afternoon. Amen. Everybody just lift up your hands. Lift up your hands if you would.